my own political journey. Raised in a left-wing household where the words Republican, conservative, evil, and racist were synonymous, my political enlightenment came in three distinct phases. First, I read David Friedman's The Machinery of Freedom, subtitled Guide to Radical Capitalism. I was 18, it was 1975, the book was 2 years old, and it changed my entire understanding of political economics. I always assumed, somehow, that government was able to affect positive change in regulation and redistribution, but somehow we weren't doing it right. Milton Friedman's son, also an economist at the University of Chicago, explains that this isn't so. There is no right way to regulate our way to a better world. People, even ordinary, stupid, ignorant people, make better decisions for themselves than well-meaning bureaucrats. I think that's what Adam Smith was trying to tell us. Second, I gradually came to understand the vision that started with the Magna Carta in 1215 and resulted in my own United States in 1789, that the best result with ordinary people, laws of nature and nature's God, in Jefferson words, is a free society respecting certain moral values, which I summarize in a page on what is a libertarian. I realized that liberalism is expediency. Ends justify the means, immorality. How much hurting people and taking their stuff is okay? Who decides how much is okay? Third, when Pete Seeger died in 2014 January, I noticed in his biography his support for Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler, among other horrors. This was confirmed by an older liberal-raised conservative who explained that his liberal family was pro-Stalin because he was a communist and pro-Hitler because he was a socialist and pro-Stalin. Then, when Stalin turned mean, because he was anti-Stalin. When I look back at history, I saw a long list of issues where American left and right strongly differed and where history made it clear to me and my values that the right was right. I already understood the moral connection between American liberalism and evil, and now I saw it was more than a moral connection, as the left actually supported most of the awful things in recent history, as I describe in the history section below. When I went back to look at my liberal heroes, gosh, liberals were so much better in the good old days, I realized things weren't better before the horrors of Carter, Clinton, and Obama. LBJ and Wilson were vehement racists. FDR sent Jews back to Germany and incarcerated yellow Americans. Truman was a member of the Ku Klux Klan along with Wilson. And Kennedy was as indecent a womanizer as Clinton. Liberal progressivism in the good old days was about unions saving the working man. During my entire lifetime, unions have been about goons and thugs threatening people, workers who wouldn't join the union, and managers who wouldn't meet their demands. Unionism was about getting more pay for less work by force. Institutions with a sacred trust of honest truth have begun lying to us. Former paragons of truth, Scientific American and Newsweek, had photo-edited covers with admissions of falsehood only in small print inside the magazine. Time went so far as to have a poor, helpless, crying little Mexican girl on the cover as a victim, separated from her family by immigration policies, when, in fact, they knew that she was never separated from her family and she wasn't from Mexico. Institutions with a sacred trust of impartiality have revealed or acquired a shameful liberal bias. I picked up a copy of the New York Times recently, and articles on the front page, where the news used to go, were emotional blather pieces against President Trump. News media have replaced news with pro-liberal propaganda. Liberal debate has degenerated into mindless attacks without any understanding either of issues or what another person is saying. I'm an alumnus of Princeton University. At their most recent Alumni Day celebration, two liberal prize winners made utterly false statements in their acceptance speeches, and neither was confronted in any way by a community of academic leaders who had a responsibility to speak up. In my day, Princeton was hypocritical in many ways, but most shamefully around race and affirmative action. For four decades and change, starting in Princeton in 1974, I have personally seen the corrosive power of so-called diversity programs marginalizing blacks and women in both academic and professional settings. The graduation day speaker a few years ago was Al Gore, hardly a politically neutral speaker, and this year was Eduardo Batia spewing liberal rhetoric with specific support for the racial violence of a hate group called Black Lives Matter. In case that isn't hypocritical enough, Princeton has black-only reunions and recently celebrated She Roars only for Princeton women. Lots of people celebrate these events. I shudder to think what the same people would think of white-only or male-only alumni get-togethers. People with conservative or libertarian views are forbidden from speaking at colleges, or they are harassed. Freedom of speech has become a one-sided privilege. The Capitol Steps, a political parody song and dance group known for skewering anybody and everybody, were definitely silent after the 2008 Obama victory. Later, they told me personally it was a lack of material, but I think they were scared of the consequences of making fun of this new president-elect. A liberal alumnus of both my high school and college with a PhD in astrophysics is comfortable in his belief in man-made global warming without citing a single case where somebody used climate change models successfully and scientifically to predict the future. Scientific American and National Geographic magazines and the venerated Society for Industrial and Applied Mathematics, SIAM, became voice boxes for preposterous pseudoscience in climatology. There is legitimate science. Maybe things are warming up since 1920. Maybe carbon dioxide has been rising since 1940. And maybe burning fossil fuels in the 1960s caused these things to happen. But real scientists embrace doubt, skepticism, and exchange of ideas as opposed to dogma. That they still believe when their forecasts have not come true is a sign they were never scientists to begin with. The Nature Conservancy, once a proud private property protecting promoter of environmentally endangered ecosystems, became a mouthpiece of political economy, ecology movements. Global warming is a formidable enemy of legitimate thought, with emotion and pseudoscience masquerading as reason. Its predecessor was eugenics, with racism and hate masquerading as world-saving environmentalism. Both global warming and eugenics were liberal causes. I'm just old enough to remember eugenics, personified in the Star Trek episode Space Seed. The history of communism and socialism has been disastrous all over the world. I see over and over again politics isn't the way to get things done. A friend gave me this soundbite. Conservatives make change and progress with shovels to dig foundations, while liberals use baseball bats to effect change. Deep down, it's all the same disease. Economists call it socialism, political scientists call it democracy, journalists call it populism, and social scientists call it collectivism. The one apparent exception is China, which I visited and realized it's not really communistic at all. Their success comes from government letting smart, energetic people get things done. While I have a massive, invasive, intrusive political machine, it seems, unlike the West, not to be biased against productivity and success. Da-dum-dum. Facebook memes from liberals seem to have prevailing stupidity and naivete that insult all of us who claim human intellect. Every time I think a new issue is so obvious they can't get this one wrong, they seem to pick the wrong side. The worst stupidity on the other side is a trifle in comparison. The really awful corruption scandals involve liberals, and then they blame conservatives. Trump's predecessor didn't tell us his name, so they call Trump number 45. The predecessor's Secretary of State took bribes from Russia, so they say Trump colluded with Russia. The Democrat before that was a womanizer, so they say Trump is sexist. The Democrat before that trashed our economy, so Trump is losing jobs. The Democrat before that was a Klan sympathizer, so Trump is racist. There is yet again a scaring rising tide of anti-Semitism in Europe and the United States coming from the political left. And the liberals blame Trump for that, too. I see liberals whining that conservatives are taking away some people's benefits that have been taken by force from others. I see limitless hypocrisy where liberals who embrace Ted Kennedy after Chappaquiddick criticize ancient, anecdotal, alleged sexual misconduct, and liberals who elected Ku Klux Klan presidents castigate right-wing candidates because they might be racist, and liberals who tolerate Islamic cruelty and terrorism expressed fear that Christian candidates could impose their religion on the rest of us, etc., etc., etc. Liberal political discourse has become a name-calling frenzy devoid of any facts or logic. The impression is clearly one of arsonists taking the moral high road over firefighters. They have the right to speak, but the rest of us should have the right not to listen to it. This is what we all read in the major newspapers, hear on public radio, and see on CNN and Facebook. Those writing for and posting to these liberal media should be ashamed of themselves. Boom. We all saw the hate explode after the 2016 election of Donald Trump. Hate doesn't come from the winners. Liberal friends of mine had temper tantrums over Trump's victory. Swarms of death threats for Trump came out of the liberal woodwork, and there were swastikas painted on Jewish graves the next day by the same angry, hateful liberals. The most vile, voluminous, vindictive, vicious values vendetta against the United States of America in my social media universe came from a woman who dragged her adopted family 11 and a half time zones from their homes to live here. Go figure. In addition to a large liberal community, many middle-of-the-road and somewhat right-wing people have a special dark place in their hearts for President Donald Trump, to the point where we diagnose their blathering spew of hate as TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. Seen through eyes unobscured by hate, the Trump hypocrisy has been steady and shameless. It seems others have lived in an alternative universe where things were different. For instance, a typical left-wing post on Facebook claimed Republicans believe Hillary ran a child sex ring out of a pizza restaurant. I've never heard anything like that in any right-wing circles. While some right-wing Republican says the government should stop taking money by force from some people to pay for something for other people, there is an outcry that the government is taking away that something from the other people. They're taking away our health care, they cry, when in fact their health care is still there, their insurance is still there, only that they have to pay for their own expense themselves. In short, my own political observation and experience has been that America's left-wing liberal political progressive position is based entirely on egregious emotionalism with neither factual foundation nor accountability to integrity or dignity, and that their policy results have been almost entirely negative. This is what I have seen and heard in the past 40-plus years.